By way of introduction, obviously I'd like to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach. I really do not take that lightly at all. And any opportunity I get, it's thrilling. Let's say if you were to walk outside and you see a beautiful, beautiful new Lamborghini. Wouldn't that be nice? $300,000 right there that goes downhill once you drive it out of the wherever they sell it. But obviously I don't have a Lamborghini. It's close, but not quite. But let's say I do have one, and day after day, you see it sitting here at the church parking lot. And it's gathering dust, and it's getting scratched, and I'm not using it. What would you tell me? You'd say, Brother Jed, that's kind of dumb. I mean, you have such a privilege, and you don't partake of it. I mean, would you let me take it for a ride? I'd say no, of course. But you say, brother, you have such a unique opportunity to drive that vehicle, and you don't. You know, that's such a shame. But you know, let's change that around. Brethren, we have such a great privilege of coming before the Lord and of talking to our God. And a lot of times we take it for granted. You know, our prayer life, I probably can say, I know that my prayer life is never where it needs to be. You know, we constantly need to have a better prayer life. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in some things, no, that's not what it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, we as guys, that's not our text, by the way, that was just a matter of introduction. But if you want to start opening to 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we, you know, guys are known for not really, you know, we are self-sufficient. We don't like asking for help. We like to do it all by ourselves. At work, part of what I do is I build crates around these 2 to 3 ton air units. And sometimes you have to put the top on, and the tops are heavy. I have a coworker, and he insists on doing it alone. The other day, he hurt his back because he wouldn't ask for help. You know, a lot of times, we are the same exact way. Instead of seeking help and looking for help on somebody who can help us, we just try to do things on our own. The title of my message is Running for Help. Run for Help. And if you find yourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to look at three examples of people who ran for help in very hard times in their lives. So let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We will start in verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. We read, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret. Notice, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Jump down to verse 10 with me, please. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long will ye be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I need you. I need your help. Lord, I pray that you would use your word. Lord, my words have no value, but your word is everlasting. And I pray that you would work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I debated a little bit about bringing this message this afternoon because I was like, this is a Sunday afternoon night service, and this is not necessarily probably the typical Sunday message. The message is about prayer, and we're going to look at three things: a prayer for provision, a prayer for pardon, and lastly, a prayer for perseverance. Now I was like, well, Lord, are you sure that's what you want me to bring? And if you look back in history, every revival that has taken place has been through much prayer. So, brethren, if we want to see revival sweep through Maranatha, it's got to start prayer. It's got to start through prayer in our secret closets. First of all, let's look at the prayer for provision. In verse 12, we see, and it came to pass as she continued praying. Now, for sake of just reveal, let's take a look at, here's Hannah, she's married, and notice the Lord had shut up her womb. She could not have any children. So we find here in verse 12, and it came to pass that she continued in prayer. If you jump back to verse 11, we see that she's asking for a man-child, for a boy. And she said, Lord, if you give me a boy, I'll give him right back to you. So first of all, a prayer for provision. She needed something. She ran to the Lord. Notice, when we need something, we need to run to the Lord. Notice that she persevered in prayer. You know, a lot of times we think God is an ATM, really. We just go there, it's, you know, quick withdrawal, and we got what we want, and we're good. We forgot to persevere. It's, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you to provide for me. You know, I remember two summers ago, I was in Bolivia, and I did my internship there, and I knew that if I did my internship, I wouldn't have any money saved to come back to school. But I prayed. I just said, Lord, if you want me to set out, that's fine. If not, I pray that you'd provide. But it wasn't something I prayed for every day. And the Lord provided that summer over $12,000 for my school bill. The Lord provides. God loves us. He wants to look after us. Notice, God had shut up her womb. And I don't know about you, there may be somebody here and you may be struggling financially. Or you may need something. You may need a car, or who knows what you need. Take it to the Lord. Run to Him. And ask Him for provision. And He will provide if you ask in faith. She persevered in prayer. But also, let's look, she prayed passionately. Jump to verse number 15. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. You know, sadly to say, so many times prayer has become such a routine in our lives that it really doesn't go above the ceiling. Lord, thank you for this food and pray that you help the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't mean that. Our heart is not in it. I read a quote, it said, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. When we come to God, we really must come with our hearts in it. Not just going through a routine, saying, Lord, give me this, give me that, in Jesus' name, amen. It is said that the shortest distance between a problem and the solution is the distance between your knee and the floor. No, when Hannah had a problem, she went to the Lord. How about you? When you have a problem, when you need God's provision, what do? Do you take out a new credit card? Do you try making things fit with the arms of the flesh? Or do you run to the Lord? We, in 1 Peter chapter 5 or 7, the Bible says, Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. When we have a problem, when we need God's provision, we must run to the Lord and pour out our souls like Hannah did before the Lord. Let us now look at a prayer for pardon. A prayer for pardon. Open with me now to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And David wrote this psalm after he had committed the horrible sin with Bathsheba. And Nathan had confronted him, and he obviously repented, but then he pens these words. This psalm has been such a good reminder to me at times. Psalm 51, it starts out, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression." David had a problem. He failed. He sinned. Notice, Hannah had a problem. She needed a baby. David had a problem. He messed up. He failed. But then David comes to the Lord and said, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I need you." First of all, David recognized his sin. So when we pray for pardon, we must recognize, first of all, our sins. Notice verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." You know, I'm sure we're, none of us are perfect, and we all sin. When we do, like David, we must recognize our sin. That's what David did. Not only did he recognize his sin, he confessed. He's like, "Lord, I have sinned against you, against thee and thee alone have I sinned and done this evil," verse 4, "in thy sight." He recognized his fault. He recognized his sin. Not only that, but he requested forgiveness. Verse 9, we read, "Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." First of all, David recognized his sin. Secondly, he requested forgiveness. Brethren, we all sin. Why keep something between us and the Lord when all we have to do is come before him with a broken heart and recognize our flaw and say, "Lord, I sin. Please forgive me." He requested forgiveness, but then he was reconciled to God. Verse 17, "The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And if you read beforehand, David is broken over his sin. Brethren, when we need pardon, when we need forgiveness, we need to run to the Lord. "Lord, I have sinned. I need you." You know, just like David, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you may say, Brother Jed, this is Maranatha. I know. But who knows, there might be somebody here who you're not saved. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says that "For all have sinned." Everybody is a sinner. And our sin separates us from God. Your sin keeps you from heaven. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages..." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. Just like David, you have sinned. And if you're not saved, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, then you're not pardoned. You're not forgiven. And God, because of his righteousness, cannot allow sin into heaven. 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The payment for sin is death, separation from God. Are you saved? Will you be like like David, he recognized his sin, he requested forgiveness, and he was reconciled with God? Or will you reject and go on your own way? Now, you may be hearing and say, no, Brother Jed, I know I'm saved. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. How's your relationship with the Lord? How is my relationship with the Lord? Can we say, is there nothing between my soul and the Savior? We saw a prayer for provision, a prayer for pardon. John Bunyan said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. And that's so true. Lastly, let's look at a prayer for perseverance. Open now with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We will read in verse 36. The last point is a prayer for perseverance. Perseverance means being steadfast and doing something despite the difficulty. And that's what we will see here in this particular passage. Here, the Lord is ready to be taken into custody. He knows what he's going to face. He knows that his father is going to turn his back on him. Our sins, the sin of the whole world, would be placed on his back. He was under much burden. Yet, let's look at what Christ did in the hardest, in the hardest time of his ministry, in the hardest time of his life. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciple, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Jump to verse 38, please. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. As I mentioned beforehand, Christ is bearing the sins of the whole world. You know, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. He was in a hard, really, really hard time of his life. Yet, what did he do? Notice that Christ prayed. You know, brethren, I'm sure that we all, ahead of us, only the Lord knows what's ahead of us. But maybe we'll face persecution. Maybe we'll lose a loved one. Maybe down the road, somebody we love will be sick. What do we do then? Notice that Christ, in the hardest time of his life, he prayed. How much more should we? Notice, first of all, he prayed for deliverance. Verse 39. And went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. First of all, Lord, if there is any way out of this, please help me. God, I need you. But that's not where he stopped. You know, a lot of times we as Christians, when we come to a hard spot in our lives, that's where we stop. We want God to deliver us from that problem and it be done. But that's not what Christ did. Yes, we can pray for deliverance, but that might not be God's will. Notice, the second point is, he surrendered his will. Verse 39, and went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but but as thou wilt. You know, brethren, sometimes it is God's will to deliver us from the trials we face, but sometimes it's not. And when we are facing hard times, we must be surrendered to God's will. Lord, if it's your will, please help me to make it through this. But Lord, if it's not, if you want to teach me a lesson through this, yet not my will, but your will be done. That's what Christ did. And lastly, Christ prayed persistently. Notice verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Christ persisted in prayer. When we think we can't take it anymore, when we think we can't go another, we cannot take another step, when we feel the burdens of life just cast upon our shoulders, we need to hit the floor with our knees and run to God. We can pray for deliverance. We must be surrendered to God's will. Then we must be persistent. In the hardest time, as I mentioned, of Christ's life, he prayed. That's a great lesson for us to learn. When we face adversity, when we face trials, we need to take it to the Lord. There's an Irish-born man named Joseph. And Joseph was engaged to be married, and the night before he got married, his wife died in a terrible accident. She drowned and died. Joseph was so heartbroken. And to try to restart, to try to start a new life, to try to forget all these memories, he moved to Canada. And a couple years in Canada, he met another girl. He was a teacher, and this girl was a teacher too. Her name was Elisa, and they fell in love, and he proposed to her, but again, before they got married, she got ill and died. Oh, Joseph was so heartbroken. His faith in God is what carried him through. Shortly after that, he got news that his mother back in Ireland was about to die, and he did not have the money to go back to see her. So he wrote a letter to her, and on this letter he wrote a poem to his mom. And on that poem he wrote the following song: "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Brethren, I don't know if you need something, if you need the Lord's provision, if you need pardon this afternoon, or you just need perseverance. Lord, I need you. I need your help to get through this day. For the sake of time, there's another point that you cannot leave out, but it's a prayer of praise. And you know, when we pray too, we gotta praise the Lord. You know, we can't always go to the Lord just asking. Make sure that we're praying to the Lord. So my question to you this afternoon is, what's your need? Take it to the Lord. He'll be listening, and he will.